Amen. It's like old times.
I don't know. We still haven't quite forgiven them for moving over here. But, your gain, our loss. I think Shirley had a special tonight. She was going to sing for you. So we've got all kinds of music tonight. I know whom I have, believe it. Better turn it around.
I know not why my I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word wrought peace within my heart. But I know I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep to Him against that day.
I know whom I have believed. All right. My, somebody paid me off. There's a dime here on the pulpit. No, it isn't a dime. It's a foreign penny or something. 10 somethings. All right. Well, I got a lot of scripture tonight. I'm not preaching a message to the unsaved, because I think most everybody here knows the Lord as their Savior. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of what we're supposed to do as born-again Christians. You know, we don't just put on our necktie and go to church on Sunday and then go home and forget about it for a week. We've got things that we need to accomplish. And in the book of Judges, chapter 10, I've got quite a few scriptures tonight. So we're going to be reading a lot of scripture and not too much preaching. Judges chapter 10, verse 6. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served him not. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam." And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines and the Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Moabites? Did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand? Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for its testimony. We thank you, Father, for your word that you've given us. And I just pray that you'll be with us tonight. Help us to understand what you would have of us. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Be humble, so not humiliated. I titled my message, "We Need to Be Humble, So Not Humiliated." And it's sometimes the Christian is humiliated because of their lack of humbleness and their lack of going and doing that what they ought to do. We need to be very careful of what we worship. You know, there's a lot of things that people can worship. We can worship contemporary music, for instance. Be something that people can get wrapped up in. We can worship in music. We can worship in dress. We want to be with the Mod Squad, and we dress wrongly sometimes. Which Bible we use. Again, I'm a King James fan, King James man, and I've always used the King James, and I probably always will. I had a daughter-in-law that bought me one of the new versions, a very nice one, all leather-bound and all. I should have thrown it away, but I gave it away, because I just don't use those other contemporary Bibles. And then materialism can get in our way. We can get materialistic, and that's pretty easy to do. I want this, and I want that, and I, you know, we get new cars and new suits and new dresses and new hairdos and all kinds of things. But there's nothing wrong with those things as long as they don't take precedence over serving the Lord. And pleasures can get in the way, can't they, of God's service. I want to go fishing, or I want to go hunting, or I want to go do this or that, the many different pleasures that the world offers. And sometimes we get sidetracked with pleasures. Then you think about jobs. my job becomes more important than serving the Lord. My testimony is, I've been saved for a number of years, but I worked. I never was a pastor, but just about a year and a half, but I worked secular jobs. I worked one Sunday after I got saved. I never worked on Sunday. I was asked to work on Sunday, but no, I never did, because church was important. Serving the Lord was more important than that job. And I was a salesman, so if I got canned off of that one, I could go down the street and get another one. You know, they're always looking for salesmen. But I only liked to sell the stuff I believed in. And so I was in sales most of my adult life. Well, materialism, pleasures, jobs, family. Family can get in the way. You know, our family sometimes becomes more important than serving the Lord. And so we need to be careful in that area. Christianity is not umbrellas, neckties, put them up when it's raining, and then put it away in the closet until the storm comes again. Or the neckties that we put on Sunday morning to come to church, and then we hang it in the closet until next week and forget about serving the Lord. No, Christianity needs to become a tattoo. Now, I don't believe in real tattoos, but once you're tattooed, it's there. It's permanent. And Christianity needs to be such as a tattoo. It needs to be permanent, not on and off again. We need to be permanent in our serving the Lord. There's a little song that we used to sing in Sunday school called Joy. Remember that one? J is for Jesus, and O is for others, and Y is for you. These things need to go ahead of me. Jesus, others, and you. Okay? You're last. Okay? Now in Psalms 11, let's look at Psalms chapter 11. I've got, like I say, quite a few scriptures, so I'll rush through them. But verse 3 of Psalms 11, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a good question. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now look down at verses 6 and 7. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous, Lord, loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Righteousness, doing and being that which is right. And the Lord wants us to do what is right. He wants us to be what is right. He wants us to look what is right. He wants us to smell what is right. You know, because we are a witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we see in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembly. It's not anything more important in your life than assembling with the saints. And hearing the word expounded, singing praises unto the Lord. And he will bless those that are faithful. There's nothing to substitute faithfulness. Nothing. You can be faithful in whatever. If you've been called to sweep the floors, be faithful in it, and God will bless. If you're called to be up front and play the piano, and you're faithful at it, God will bless. Right, Maggie? That's right. Need to be faithful, and God will bless the faithfulness. Whatever he has called you to do, okay? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but so much more as we see that day approaching. Then in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 12. We see 9 through 12, excuse me. Two are better than one. Now this portion of scripture, my wife pointed out to Brother Max DeBeeson and I when we were a team. We came from Washington State, and we came to Canada to start a church over there in Trail, and we're still there. And so this is the scripture that my wife had pointed out to me, and I'd probably read it many times, but it just didn't sink in. And let's see, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So we need fellowship one with another. If you're out here all by yourself, you're just like that coal that's in the fire, you know. We've all been camping and had a little campfire, and if you drag one of those red-hot coals out to the side, just shortly it'll turn gray and cold because it's away from the others. But if you rake it back in, it'll turn bright red again and start glowing. And that's a good example of a Christian. We need the fellowship one of another. We need to be here. We need to sing praises together. We need to study together. We need to weep together, love together. We are a family. Everyone here has a different job, different position. We have different problems, but we are a family. And we need to be concerned about one another. Prayer. Now, we just talked about assembly. Now we're talking about prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Well, we don't have to be in this type of attitude to pray. When you're driving down the highway, I hope you don't do that. But I hope you're in communication with God and you're thinking about spiritual things. And pray without ceasing. Always be cognizant of God in your life. Be cognizant of what He would have you to do, and not what you want to do particularly. Whether you're driving down the road or whether you're in your prayer closet, be conscious of the Lord. And teamwork. We had that teamwork. Well, pray without ceasing. In John 9:31, God heareth not the sinners. Let's look at, there's more to that, John 9:21. I think I've got a John here somewhere. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is our, that's the wrong thing. 9:31, there we go. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Are your prayers answered? Is God answering your prayers today, or do you feel like you're off out in left field somewhere and he never hears you and never answers the prayers, you see? Well, God heareth not the sinner. So we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, not a one. But I'm under the blood. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do I still sin? Yes, I try to sin less. But we never become sinless. Okay? God heareth not sinners, but we need to continue to be in touch with Him. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it tells us that our iniquities separate us from the love of God. Our iniquities separate us. So be careful of how we walk. Be careful of what we say. Be careful of what we do. Because the world is watching us. And you know, Not very many times, but a couple of times in my Christian life, I've had people come. This one lady came into the store where I worked, and she says, "I hear you're a Christian." I said, "Yes." She said, "I've been watching you, and I noticed that you're different than the other men in the store. What makes you different?" I said, "Well, I'm going home for lunch in a few minutes. If you'd like to ride home with me to lunch, I'll tell you." Took her up in the house, and Shirley fixed us a bowl of soup, and I was able to lead her to the Lord during that lunch hour. But it was because of my walk that she came and noticed something different. So people are watching. Our walk is so important. Our walk and our talk, what we do, where we're at, all these things are important for the Christian. And God will bless if we but observe those things. In Ezekiel 14 and 3, or 1 through 3, Ezekiel, somewhere back here in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 14. Okay. "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols." Well, I hope that you don't have idols in your life, that God can carry out that. "I will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols." You see, if we put too much before serving the Lord, set our idols in our hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face, should I be inquired at all of them? You know, it's just like the prodigal son. When he's off out in the world and living it up, father couldn't do anything about it. He wasn't required to do anything about it. But when the son came home, he welcomed him with open arms. So be careful of how we walk, and God will not hear the idol worshipers. In Matthew 21:22, it says, "Ask and believe and receive, or ask and doubt and do without." Do you believe in your prayers? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And when you ask your prayer, are you doing it and believing that he hears you and will answer you? Maybe he will say no. Sometimes we ask amiss. But ask, believe, and receive, or ask and doubt and go without. "Whatsoever you ask, believing, you shall receive." Now that's quite a verse in the scriptures. "Whatever you ask, believing, you shall receive." So I pray that you're believers tonight and that you ask for the proper things and that you will receive. Number 4, the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study. Are you studying God's word to see what he has to say for you? And I don't mean just to get up and read a chapter, but read the chapter and then decide what God is trying to tell you. Study it and put it some effort in putting it to practice. And then in 2 Timothy 3, that's where that one is too, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verses 16 and 17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we need to read it, study it, and apply it. And just to read it's not good enough. Studying it is not good enough unless we do something with it. You know? So we need to apply God's Word to our life. And then in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and verses 16 and 17, but shun profane and vain babblings, for I'm in the wrong one again. Here we are, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, in Luke, I think it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word shall not pass away. We have the word of God, and it's being tampered with, and it's being a lot of different versions coming out and all, but we still have it, and we will have it until he returns. God has promised that we have his word. And say, well, this is English. He didn't speak in English. Well, I do believe that the Holy Spirit was involved in the translation of this Bible to the English version so that we, as English-speaking people, can have the perfect Word of God. You know, they've taken the Bible out of the schools. They've taken the Bible out of government. They're taking the Bible out of society as a whole. The Bible is not important anymore, and as you look about in society today, the young people like this don't know the first thing about the Bible and about the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's been taken out of their school and out of their home and out of their work. You know, I can remember as a child, we used to have our school, a one-room school. There was 8 grades in this one-room country school, and it was held in the same building the church was in. We sang hymns on Friday morning at assembly. We got the old hymn books out and we sang some hymns. I wasn't a Christian. I never became a Christian while I was there, but it was there. And the word was being presented in the secular schools. Not today. We have to go to a home school or a Christian school in order to get the Word of God. You can't go to just a public school anymore and get the Word of God preached or taught. So, Bible out of the schools, it's out of our government, it's out of society as a whole, and God's blessing is disappearing. We talked about that today. We see things happening today in the homosexuals and all this type of stuff that's going on today that's strictly against the Scriptures, but society is pushing it. Our governments are pushing it. So I believe we're in the last days. I don't know about you, but I think the Lord can come at any time as we see what's going on around. Well, the Bible. We just finished that. So we've got one more here, the giving. Malachi. See if I can find Malachi here. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now he's talking about Israel here. But we can apply this. Bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I know people, and I've known people through the years, that just couldn't bring themselves to give 10% of their money to the Lord. It's so important that you learn that lesson, and I know you've heard it 1,000 times, but the more you give, the more God blesses. And you can't outgive him. You just can't. And, you know, I'm just a normal human being like you, and I want to have money in the bank to buy next month's groceries. I don't like, want to pay the rent and all, but I think of the widow and her two mites. How she threw in everything she had and God blessed. And that was there, I think, for our purpose. We can give and give and give, and you can't outgive God. If you give with the right attitude, some people give to get, and that don't work. You give out of a heart of love, and God will bless because you are a giver. And I think that's so important in our life, that we learn how to give, and then we can receive the blessings. Way back in Proverbs, I know I haven't given you a lot of time to look these up, but you can write them down or something. Chapter 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. There's those that give. Those that scatter, that give. That's what it's talking about. And yet increaseth. And I know that that's true. The more you give, the more God blesses. If you give again with the right attitude. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. We're on this giving thing here. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. So I pray that you give cheerfully. And I know one time we were at a meeting, Brother Max and I, and the preacher was preaching on giving and on tithing. And he said, you're to give cheerfully. And when you give, he says, you hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then that whole church was just praising the Lord and hallelujah and putting their money in the offering tray. It was a fellowship meeting, but that was quite an experience to see all these people joyfully giving their $20 bills and waving it, bring the plate over here, you know. That was a one-time-in-a-life experience, I guess. But it was really a blessing to see people joyfully giving, more than joyful, just the whole place was in an uproar, giving their money. Well, I don't suppose we have to do that. But lay up in store the first day of the week that which God hath prospered you. This is Paul talking to them, Corinthians, that I don't have to go around and gather it up when I get there. Lay up the first day of the week, that which God hath prospered, so there will be no gathering when I come, that it will be there. And I can take it on to help the poor Jews in Jerusalem that are hurting. So give cheerfully. Give with a cheerful heart. Then the last one, verse number 6, is going. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I think probably you know that one, don't you? Matthew 28. 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go. Go ye therefore and teach, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. This is red letters in my Bible. This is Jesus talking, saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we need to go and preach the gospel. Back in Romans chapter 10, I think I got a Romans here, and verses 13 and 14, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Ladies, you're not to be pastors, but you are to be preachers. You know, you're not just to sit around and look pretty. You're to be busy about your Father's business. And we're to preach the word, in season, out of season. Preach the word. Be ready to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you and what he can do for them and about an eternity. There's a lot of things that we can tell the world, and we need to be busy about our Father's business. We need to be careful of what we worship. We don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Be always in an attitude of prayer, seeking God's will in our lives. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study your Bibles. Freely give of that God has given you. Don't be a tightwad. Give, and God will bless. Okay? Probably if we had a testimony time tonight, I could hear a lot of good testimonies about some of these things we're talking about here. Study and freely give, and then go to all the world with the gospel. We have missionaries. I don't know how many missionaries you support. We support about 25, I think, or 23 missionaries around the world from our church. So we need to support those missionaries and get the word out. I can't go to India, but we have a missionary over there that I can send some money that he can preach the gospel and see those people saved. Freely give of that that God hath given you. Go to all the world with the gospel, all parts of a good Christian foundation. Careful what you worship. Don't forsake the assembling. Be always in an attitude of prayer. Study your Bible. Freely give that God, what God has given you, and then go to all the world with the gospel, the good news. Well, all parts of a good Christian foundation, similar to our Christian armor. The Bible talks about our armor, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be conscious of these things. There's a lot said right there, isn't there? Love and joy, peace. And then God also has his line in the sand. You know, I haven't got time to read the whole thing, but in Jeremiah 42, if you want to jot that down and read it, how they didn't obey God. They decided that they wanted to go down to Egypt instead of staying in Israel. These Jews that were left after the most of them were taken into captivity, and they went against God's will. They went to Egypt. And then in Lamentations, I'll read that. I think you've probably read it maybe many times. See, Lamentations, I think that's in the Old Testament, isn't it? What page is that on? Can't find it. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Anyway, that Lamentations, it talks about the Jews that didn't listen to what God told them, and they left and went down to Egypt, and they died there. And they pleaded with God to forgive them and to come back. And for some reason, I can't find Lamentations. Huh? Well, I got Jeremiah. There it is. Okay, Lamentations, chapter 5. I jumped over it about six times there. We see there, down in about 19th verse of Lamentations 5, when these Jews were told to stay in Israel, and they went to Egypt because they thought, boy, the Egyptians are doing well, we do a lot better down there. Verse 19 of chapter 5 says, "Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." They were pleading with the Lord with all their heart. Verse 22, "But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us." Because they didn't do what the Lord had called them to do. He rejected them, and there was no returning to the Lord for these people. In that last chapter of Lamentations, you can read that whole chapter. It's pretty sad because they didn't obey the Lord. They didn't do what he'd asked them to do. So we can apply this to our lives, and we need to do what God has called us to do. So if you love me, he says, keep my commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then in Ecclesiastes 12:13, the whole duty of man is to fear the Lord and to keep his commandments. You say, well, that's not hard. Well, love the Lord with all thy heart and all thy mind, all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If you can do these two things, you can keep all what the Lord has for you. But it's pretty hard to love me as you love yourself. You know, after self is taken care of, well, then we'll help others. The Bible is quite explicit on that. The whole duty of man is to fear the Lord and to keep his commandments. So I pray that you do, and that you are. And I appreciate this church. It's been here quite a while. Still going. I don't know, Mel, I don't know how many years you've been here, but it's been a few. And then we know others too, like the Kuipers, been here from the conception of this church. And they're still here. So we praise the Lord. Annie, I think you've been here since it started too, haven't you? I think so. Then you stole a couple from us. And I see a couple of young men that you stole from Castlegar. Anyway, it's a blessing to see the church still existing, still going on for the Lord. And we pray for the Kuipers through this time. We do have trials and tribulations, but keep them in your prayers. And God's will be done, whatever that might be. And it's been good to be with you. Thank you for your ear. And I didn't have a salvation message or anything tonight because I know that you're all born-again Christians that are here. And I just pray that you'll take God's word as it's been presented and apply it to your life, that God can bless. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this church, for its testimony. Thank you, Father, for your word, that we can look into it and apply it to our lives. Continue to pray for the Kuiper family. Lead, guide, direct that. Your will be done. And Father, just be with this church. Continue to prosper it and see it grow. I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mel, come and lead us in a closing song, okay?